MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm talking with Ben Mayer from Prescient Fund Services. Ben, appreciate the time. Your inaugural ETF Evolution report has just been published. It's timeliest because, of course, the first ETF in South Africa from Satrix is almost 25 years ago. And if my memory, and it might be, you were at the JSC back then, and you were, if I recall, involved in the Satrix, because, of course, JSC was a shareholder in Satrix in the early days.
Yeah, Simon, thanks for having me. That is absolutely correct. I was in the team with others that structured Satrix, and I represented the JSE in that joint venture. You know, way back in the day, it was Corp Capital Bank, JSE, and Gensec Bank. That was the first involved in Satrix. And it's clear to us that we're speaking to investment managers, you know, across various jurisdictions, you know, it's clear that the ETF market is growing. Yeah. It's growing phenomenally in Europe. We're seeing growth in South Africa. But it's fairly obvious that there's a lot of education that's still needed around ETFs and the opportunities that ETFs offer. And that is really why we produced that report, you know, because part of our business beliefs is to empower global investing success. The educational element is really tied to that belief. You know, that's what we want to do. That's the essence of that report. It's not specifically to promote product, but to educate the market on ETFs.
And it's a market that's grown. I mean, we're up to, 92 ETFs. I think we've got 29 actively managed. And of course, we've got AMCs and the like as well on the JSE. But it's still small. If I look at the size of the market in Europe, in the US, and then I look at South Africa, what's South Africa? Maybe 250 billion. If I compare that to the other collective investment schemes, unit trusts, it is still very small.
100% right, Simon. You know, typically in Europe, you would find that in the mutual fund space, you know, 50 to 60% representation in ETFs. You know, South Africa, you know, unit trust industry is around about 1.7 trillion rand. And in the ETPs is around about 250 million. If you include the AMCs, you strip the AMCs out, you sort of about 200 million in ETFs. And a large component of that is the gold ETF. So if you look at, and the commodity ones, right? So if you look at just the equity ETFs, local and foreign, you're around about 160 billion rand, you know. So, yeah, it's clear that there is lots of growth opportunities. And you've mentioned actively managed ETFs. I think it's fair to say that actively managed ETFs is going to be one of those triggers, you know, that's going to help the market to grow. Not because necessarily you're going to have more assets moving away from index tracking to actively managed ETFs, but it helps a lot in the awareness of ETFs. I mean, you recall way back 25 years ago, the whole industry, locally and abroad, the discussions was around indexation, so-called passive investing, you know, and the active investors is like the evil guys, you know. So it's almost like that sort of activist and passive debate. But quite frankly, the last 25 years have shown that that is, it's a bit of a nonsense debate in the sense that you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of different indices out there. And you've got ETFs tracking every little index, every little theme all over the world. So it's not really a passive versus active sort of debate. If you look at what happens in Europe, maybe less so in America, specifically in Europe, the advantages of ETFs as a wrapper as opposed to investment strategy is now the discussion points, you know, and it's not just active versus passive.
Yeah, it isn't. And I think active, and active is what, about 3 years. I think it was late 22 when they came out. And Coronation, for example, has got seven active ETFs. It's, to your point, it's less around the active versus passive debate. ETF is just a product. And the beauty of it is that exchange traded, which, you know, is distribution for the issuers in a sense.
100%. It's a completely different distribution model because it's exchange traded, you know, and that is really speaks to the way the world is moving. I mean, it's not often understood the benefits of exchange traded, now, apart from the fact you can trade intraday, but most people don't really trade intraday. Most people buy and hold, and that's sort of what a lot of investment advisors will tell you as well, you know. So the question then asks, now, what's the benefit of having it on the exchange? And the simple reason is that the moment you're in the public markets, your accessibility from various platforms is much simpler.
Yeah.
You know, but this is what happens in the new world. You've got a lot of sort of platforms. You know, in South Africa, you've got, for instance, the Easy Equities out there. You've got ETFSA that's got a platform. You've got players like Vault that's got platforms. Anybody with a cell phone can access investments these days, but you can only access those investments in public markets as opposed to private markets, because in the private markets, you have to be onboarded on a Lisp platform or a sort of like a proprietary platform. In the public markets, if you've got an app that can access those public markets, you know, and you have products on there, it creates a whole new world of distribution opportunity. And that is part of what we need to educate the market. And it's early days. And it's early days in Europe as well, from a platform access to public market listed instruments. But that is really the long-term distribution play of ETFs. As you say, it's not a product, say, it's just another wrapper for an investment strategy, different method of bringing it to the market.
I agree on that 100%. And the one thing that ETFs have done, I think for the industry, 25 years ago, you know, your expenses on collective investment schemes, unit trusts were markedly higher.
Yeah.
They've come down to the point now where, you know, I mean, we've got ETFs at 10 points. I mean, you know, it's almost become that the fees have become almost irrelevant. Fees were never irrelevant, but it's fundamentally changed that aspect, not just in the ETF space, but in the unit trust and frankly, even to a degree in the hedge fund space.
I think you're right on that. And it's not only, look, I mean, index tracking fees are always going to be lower than actively managed fees because less professionals that you have to pay. Okay, so that's the first point. But you're right that the fees in ETFs are generally lower for the reason that it's public. Okay, it's more obvious what the fees are. And another big reason that's not that often that well understood in the markets is in the ETF world, you can't have different fee classes. So you only have one fee class. Now, it's quite typical in the unit trust space where you have an institutional fee class, you have a retail fee class, and so forth. Now, the investment manager that wants to use the ETF wrapper to distribute their products got to think carefully at what price point are they going to price that thing? Because there's only one price you can price it, you know?
Yeah.
And that is what you see as well. So generally, that's got an impact that fees tend to be lower than in the traditional unit trust space. But if you allow me, Samuel, I just want to say another thing on fees. One should look at the total cost to the investor as opposed to just the fee, you know, because fees are often misunderstood in the markets. But if you look at the total cost to investor, then you look at your access point. If you go access it via a platform, but the platform is quite expensive, you got to add that to your cost as well. Not only the product fee itself. You got to look at on a trading perspective, you've got to look at the spreads in the secondary market that the things trade at, you know. And then another thing is you also got to look at potential risk factors. In the ETF space, ETF as a wrapper often allows you to mitigate risk easier than a product in the private markets because it trades intraday. And we saw it now, interesting, with the Trump tariffs in April, right? You had massive movements in the markets. You could very quickly get in and out of your ETF, whereas if you have a product like a unit trust in the private markets, you know, you send your instruction to this invest, it gets, you know, executed the next day, but by that time the price had moved, you know? So that's that risk element as well. And you saw worldwide with, and not only Africa, but Africa as well, but more so worldwide, in April, a significant increase in ETF trading activity for that reason.
Yeah, it is that ease of trade. And I love the point 100%. around the total cost. That spread is so important because a unit trust trades at NAV. The ETF, there's a market maker either side of
that's
NAV.
That's right.
But we'll leave it there. That's Ben Mayer, Prescient Fund Services. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.